This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
And a happy Christmas to you all. What a privilege to be able to gather together and to be a part of what God is doing, even on the earth. It is good news. Today is good news. This is why we celebrate. And this is the reality for me, just as I was praying and preparing for today, that I believe the message I'm going to be sharing with us is something. I actually spotted a few other, you know, well-known, famous preachers. I also have a few celebrity pastors that I follow, you know. I also watch them online. But nothing beats being in the room with friends and family. And as I was glancing at some of the messages that some of them were sharing, about three or four of them actually have had the same theme. And that I want to share with us this morning. So I believe God wants to speak to us today. Who of you would agree with me that we live in a world that is fueled and actually is consumed and in many ways, in every way, is driven by this one thing, and that is fear? Yeah. Would you agree if you just switch on, you know, your news feed, if you're just looking at, you know, even when you are meeting with your friends, sometimes I feel like under pressure when I come into company of other people to have some kind of story of calamity. Oh, it's going like this, but remember, just wait till you hear my story, you know? We just recently had that big hailstorm, and as I was going around, I was just like, man, I had a bit of calamity, but some other people, yo, they really had it. They had it much worse than me. But this is the reality. The world that we live in is fueled by this thing called fear. It drives us. It is the thing that consumes our hearts and our minds, all of our thoughts. And I believe today God wants to speak into those fears. Coincidentally, as I was preparing, I looked up, just, you know, Google's a wonderful place. If you put in just a few things, a lot of information can come your way. And I just put in, what are the top things that people fear? And an article was actually published. I'm going to give you the date because I believe the date is pretty significant. It was published on the 4th of November, 2019. And what this list that they put together was made up of the top 10 things that psychologists or obviously people that deal with people with mental illness and challenges and psychological challenges and some of the emotional issues that we face, helping people through some of those fears and challenges and obstacles. This was a list compiled by these experts that were dealing with people on a daily basis. And so this was published on the 4th of November, 2019. And guess what? On the 31st of December, 2019, the whole world began to know about this thing called COVID-19. That's why it's called COVID-19, because it's from the year 2019. If you didn't know that, now you've got some, you know, useful fact for later on over lunch. You can explain. Hey, check it. Who needs Google? Eh? I went to church this morning. But the top 10 things that they show or that they found or that they list, the first one of the biggest fears that we hold, the first one is change. Secondly, loneliness. Third, failure. Number four, rejection. Number five, uncertainty. Number six, something bad happening. A big, very real fear for people. Number seven, getting hurt or ill or injured in some way. Number eight, being judged. Number nine, inadequacy. And lastly, the fear of losing your freedom. Now, it's amazing to see this list being published just a little bit more than 2 months before the whole world changed. And I believe, I mean, all of us have experienced all 10 of these things. We've all experienced change in a massive way. Our lives have changed. Your livelihoods have changed. Your family dynamics have changed. Some of us now have less family members that are with us on this earth, breathing, and that we can celebrate Christmas today with. But also, many of us have had to change jobs and change the way that we're operating. Many of us in this last period have experienced extreme loneliness, because we were isolated. We were removed from our ability to come together with others. We also experienced failure. You know, I'm doing everything I need to do. I'm wearing the mask. I'm sanitizing, but I still get sick. I still experience. I tried my best. Our governments, they've tried their best, but at many times they failed. A lot of the solutions that they've come up with just hasn't worked. And so we've been living it. The things that we were fearing is the thing that we have been living in. Rejection. Have you experienced rejection in the last few years? Perhaps uncertainty. What's tomorrow? I wonder, we're going into the Christmas season. We've got this Omicron variant. What's going to happen? Are we going to have Christmas together? We should go to the beach now before they close the beaches. Yeah. You know, I checked you guys on the 5th of December. Many of you weren't here already. Like, everybody was like, hey, we got to take our chance now.
Yeah.
Many of us have experienced that fear of something bad happening to either to ourselves or to a loved one. Something that you're dreading. When is the phone going to ring to say something has happened? Some of us have actually experienced, and I think many of you, maybe even watching online at the moment, have experiences where you've felt that something bad might happen to you or that you'd get hurt. But I'm sure many of us have also experienced being judged. Wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. Vaccinating, not vaccinating. You know? What's your opinion on things? Whatever you say, people have got lots of opinion. In the court of public opinion, I mean, everybody's being judged. Everyone's guilty.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced some inadequacies? I've tried this. I've changed this. I've made adjustments. I mean, if I just have to be honest and vulnerable with you, especially 2020, you know, all the different lockdowns, the gear shifts, every time there was a family meeting, I thought, oy, oy, oy. I just don't feel like I have the goods to handle and to navigate all of the changes and all the challenges. How am I gonna care for the people that God has entrusted to us as a church? And how are we gonna lead them through this? How are we gonna continue to feed them spiritually? Not just spiritually, but actually in many ways helping people to experience physical health and healing. And I mean, obviously all of us have experienced loss of our freedoms in many, many ways. You can't move here, you can't do this, you have to do this. Stay in at this time, go home at that time. We've all experienced this. But it's in the midst of this world, full of fear, full of uncertainty, full of rejection, full of judgment, full of failure, full of all of these realities that would draw us away. It's in the midst of this place that one night, while the shepherds were just watching their flock by night, we see this in Luke. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. It's in the midst of this fear that this angel then speaks. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, everyone. Absolutely everyone. This is good news for everyone. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby in swaddling cloths laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on the earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Friends, today, you and I, because we have God with us, Emmanuel, he proclaims the end of all fear. We see how God actually steps in. Now, for these shepherd boys, these men, tending their flock, they have a very appropriate response when faced in the company of an angel. This is something that we see throughout the Bible. There are moments that we see where people encounter God, whether it's an angel or God's presence, and they are filled with fear. That's the good kind of fear. Proverbs chapter 10, 9 verse 10 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This fear means to be in awe, to be struck by the majesty and the glory, and being utterly aware of our inadequacy, our inability to stand, our inability to actually fend for ourselves. And but for the mercy and the grace of God, when we are encountered by Him in that way, He steps in and says, listen, I want to include you in the story. Because this happens with Moses, when he encounters God up on the mountain and he says to God, God, show me your glory. And God hides him in the cleft of the rock. And God's glory passes by him. And what does it say? It says that his goodness and grace and kindness and compassion, he is, all of the attributes of God begin to be revealed to Moses. That is an appropriate fear to have for you and I today.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see that Samson's mother and father, if you don't know the story, in the book of Judges, chapter 13, you can read it there. But his mother and father have been struggling to have children. She's barren. And then an angel appears to them. And then she's very afraid, but he gives them the good news that they're going to have a child. She tells her husband, but he doesn't believe. Anybody ever had an encounter with God and they went to tell a family member and then they're like, I don't think it's a, really? That God appeared to you. Why not me? Now, when he talks to me, then it'll be real. Then the angel appears to him as well. And then she realizes, actually he says, his wife says, we shall surely die, for we have seen God. When they encounter God, the first response is, because I've come into the presence of God and God has spoken to me, I actually deserve to die. I cannot stand in God's presence. That's a righteous fear. But his wife, the husband said this, but his wife said to him, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us these things, and now announced to us these things. Now, friends, the beauty of us encountering God, our appropriate response is awe and reverence, majesty and glory to the one that speaks to us. But God in His grace, if He wanted to kill us, He could do it. But as was the case for Samson's parents, God included, He revealed Himself to them in order to include them in the story of redemption for the people of Israel. And in the same way, God reveals Himself to these shepherd boys. They are filled with great fear and awe. But God says, no, I'm not here to wipe you out, even though that's what you deserve. That's what should happen. But actually, no, I'm revealing Myself to you so that I can include you in the story, because I want to tell you there's good news. There's good news in Bethlehem today. Now, this fear as well, I want to just adjust, because for many of us, if you've grown up with a view of God, that God is distant, God is a judge, He's angry, and if you should ever, ever come into His presence, you should be dead. And so God is He dwells in unapproachable light. I could never come into His presence. If that is your view of God, that's an aspect of God that is true. But I want you to see this, that Isaac Watts, the well-known hymn writer, he talks about slavish fear. When we approach God, it's not about us approaching Him with that slavish fear. If I have two children, if my children come to me and they want to do my bidding and they are afraid every time I'm in their presence, and they are motivated out of fear but not out of love, that's not a good relationship. That's not healthy. That's not anything. And many of us actually end up relating to God in that same way.
Yeah.
I approach God out of this fear that He's going to punish me. He's going to judge me. And the reality is, outside of Christ, you and I cannot enter into His presence.
Yeah.
God's judgment is against us. But it's when we find ourselves within Christ, that you and I are stripped from that fear of slavery. But now we are filled with a fear of awe and wonder of this king. Isaac Watts writes this wonderful hymn. It's called The Dearest of All Names Above. It says, "Till God is in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are terrors to my mind. But if Emmanuel's face appear, my hope, my joy begins. His name forbids my slavish fear. His grace removes my sins." Yeah. Friends, when we come into God's presence by the power of His Son and the sacrifice that He prayed for us, and that's why God had to come in the flesh. Jesus had to be born in the flesh so that He could take on for us the sin that we so deserve, the punishment that we deserve. God's wrath needed to be satisfied, and it was fully satisfied. But Christ also comes and He experiences all of our fears, all of our uncertainties, all of our challenges. In every way, God becomes human. He brings Himself low in order for us to come to know Him. Because friends, when we experience Christ's love, that love that He gives casts out the fear. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment or punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His love." Friends, if you and I want to live free from judgment and fear from the wrath of God, we can only experience it when we are in Christ. And when we are in Christ, you and I now can be free from that fear. This angel brings good news. He says to them, "Fear not. I know you're experiencing fear," but he's saying, "No, don't fear, because I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you a son is born this day in the city of David." The cure for our fear is Christ coming into the world. Yes. It's amazing to see that if you go through the scriptures, there are actually 365 passages that say, "Fear not, do not fear." What does that mean? That every single day of the year, God is saying to you, if you're waking up and you're feeling, I've got this uncertainty, I'm afraid of getting sick, I'm afraid of what might happen, my fears are coming at me. You need to find yourself in God's word and remind yourself that every single day of the year, God is saying, "Do not be afraid." Christ becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us gives us every confidence to trust Him, because He knows what we are going through and has faced everything we may face. If we had to look at this list of 10 fears, the biggest fears, the big ones that everybody seemed to be experiencing and many of us have gone through in the last 2 years, I wanted to share a few antidotes. If this is what we feel in the natural, when we look to Christ, what Christ does and how He deals with those fears. The first one, the fear of change. You know, they say change is as good as a holiday. And many, many husbands and wives will be like, "Sometimes I just wish we could just change." Change is actually a very good thing, but we're often very uncertain and fearful of it. But there are so many times when God speaks to His people and says to them, things are going to change. He says to Jacob, "I've got a promise for you in the promised land, but I want to tell you that you're going to go to Egypt." And God says the following to him in Genesis 46. He says, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid and to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there, and I will go down with you to Egypt." So even if you feel like things are changing, and even if you feel like, "Man, oh man, I don't know, I don't like this. What awaits me? It feels to me like I'm leaving my promised land and I'm going to Egypt. I'm stepping away or outside of what God has promised me. Yeah. This doesn't look like I'm going that way. I'm going the opposite direction." In the midst of that, God's promise for us is saying, He affirms over us once again, just like He did for Jacob. He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that through them, God would make a great nation, Israel. And through that nation, his son would come, would not only redeem them, but all of the world. And so when God leads you into a place of change, take heart, because he's with you and his promises will never, ever fail you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change, even though our circumstances and our lives may change. God remains the same. Jesus also deals with our loneliness. In John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18, he says, I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Whenever you and I experience that those fears of loneliness, of separation, feeling like we've been removed from, in the midst of that, you and I have a promise from God saying that he's given us his Holy Spirit. And he's also given us, granted us, that spirit of adoption, which means we are chosen. Yeah. I heard a beautiful story of a man who's at the age of 5, his father left him. His mother was kind of left to take care of them. And in the process of them just kind of trying to stay, you know, going alive and just, you know, keeping their heads above water, his mother met another man who came into their life. And this man was really kind to him, always played, you know, with him, in a sense was a father figure to him. Eventually, his mother married this man. And then one day, he says, they went to the courthouse and he could change his name to take on this new father's surname, to become part of his family. And you know what his father, his new father said, his adopted father said to him? He said to him, you know, Stephen, most parents do not get to choose the children they have, but I chose you. Today, you and I can rest in God's, that there's something that removes fear and uncertainty from us. When we know that we've been chosen by God, each one of us, God has chosen you. He's called you by name. And he's drawing you and I into a relationship with him. Perhaps you're experiencing some fear of failure. Yes, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if things are going to work out. Are things going to be okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Any failures, any sins, any things you've messed up and you feel like, man, it's just too big, it's just... God says, let go of those things. Throw them off. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing what? Fixing our eyes on not my problem, not my mistake, not the world around me. No, on Jesus. The pioneer or the author and the perfecter of our faith. Friends, Jesus helps us to overcome our failures when we look to him. He also deals with our rejection. It's amazing for me how what a big deal rejection is for us. It's something that we all face in some way. And Jesus actually speaks or addresses this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Jesus experienced rejection so that you and I would not be rejected. Jesus was rejected so that you and I would be accepted. And so when you're experiencing that fear of, I don't know what's going to happen and how are they going to respond and is it going to be okay, you and I, because we are one in Christ, can understand that if Christ could overcome rejection, you and I could do the same. Amen. God also deals with our uncertainty. Jesus speaks about this so powerfully in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. He says, so don't worry about these things. Oh, my word. I don't want to hear it. I like worrying. I like it. because I feel like I've got something to do, you know. I'm working on something.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, I don't know, maybe you guys don't. But sometimes I just, you know, what's happening? I'm thinking, I'm worried, I'm thinking, I'm working, I'm processing, I'm doing it. It's in this world that we're just so busy, busy. But actually Jesus says, don't worry about these things.
Yeah,
saying, what will we eat? Oh my word, the petrol price has gone up again. What will we drink? Well, the government made sure that there was at times, when can you eat, when can you drink? What will we wear? You know, they said you can't buy these clothes. This clothes, only those clothes. We had all of those in this lockdown. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers.
Yeah.
But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Then he says this powerful thing. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously. Therefore, we don't bend the rules and we do what we need to do. We live righteously and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Every single day, friends, God wants us to walk free from this fear of uncertainty. What if? There's a certainty in God that whether I live or I die, I'm with him. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Some of us worry about maybe something bad will happen. Maybe if I get in my car. Maybe if I just walk out. If I step off the step, I could just misstep. So bubble wrap me. Let me just become passive. Let me hide away. That's our those fears can easily overcome us. But God doesn't want us to live in that way. He says in James chapter 4, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Friends, it doesn't mean when we follow God that no difficult and sometimes bad things happen to us. We live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
The enemy is at work. He's working through other people, and sometimes we're just in the crosshairs of some of these realities. But you and I cannot live by fear and under this fear. Wondering and hoping and being worried whether or not we are going, something bad is going to happen to us. God wants us to be free. He also, some of us are sometimes worried if I'm going to get sick. What if I get sick? What if something bad happens to me? What if I get hurt? Psalm 91 verse 10. I know some of you have it on your car. This car is protected by Psalm 91. No evil shall befall you, no plague shall come near your tent. Friends, you and I, when we live in God's promise, even then, and this is I've experienced, and I've had to walk in this. When I've experienced, yo, what's happening now? I thought I was, you know, God's my hedge, and I'm like, I'm walking as good as I. Why am I experiencing some of these things? I've had to then, at those times, go, well, then the Lord is my healer. I have to then begin to draw upon some of the things that perhaps I've forgotten. Because ultimately, God is not my cosmic genie that if I rub him the right way, then somehow everything works out for my, you know, he clears the path. No, when we walk with God and walk according to his ways, that you and I would know that he is our hedge of protection. And that if we experience challenges and trials, because we live in a fallen world, God will give us the strength and the grace and has put us in a community around us that we're not isolated, not by ourselves, that we would be able to face whatever challenges may come. The last three, some of us are worried and actually being fearful of being judged, experiencing judgment. Now, for those of us that haven't put our faith in Jesus, there's a very real judgment that we're fearing. But if you and I have put our faith in Christ, if we are in Jesus, if we've accepted the risen Christ, the one that came in the flesh, then you and I, as it says in Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit is life, has been set you free in Christ Jesus. And has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those of us that walk according to God's Spirit can live free from condemnation, free from the fear of judgment.
Amen.
Number nine, you and I can live free from inadequacy. What does inadequacy mean? It means that I've tried, but I've just never ever measuring up. I'm just never ever good enough. Paul writes in Philippians 4, it's a well-known passage. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The context of that is actually when he's living a life that's generous, a life that's contrary to what the world is saying. There's poverty, there's famine, and he's saying, no, I'm living, I'm giving, I'm trusting the Lord. I want to encourage you to continue to trust God, not only in your finances, but to be generous with your lives, to be generous with your gifts, to be generous with who you are. Live contrary to the spirit of this world. And when we do that, when we live like that, God gives us the strength. He makes us adequate to accomplish the things that he has promised. And lastly, friends, and this is, I believe, the most important one, is that God wants us to live free from the fear that we might lose our freedom. There is a security in Christ that we experience. And Jesus, in Luke, as well as in Isaiah speaks of this in Isaiah 61. He says the following about himself. This is fulfilled in Christ. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim what? Freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Some of us are like, yes, I just don't ever want to think of 2022. No, I'm just going to go in it light, like lightly. Just sort of like, oof, just see what's happening. But God wants us to actually enter in, because he proclaims every single year as the year of the Lord's favor. Because when we walk in Christ, we are united with him. And he proclaims this over us. And he comforts us who mourn. Some of us over this year have experienced some loss. And I believe that God wants us to not be fearful, but actually be comforted by him, by his Spirit. And he would provide for us who grieve in Zion. I believe God wants us to draw from him. And he then also bestows upon us the crown of beauty. The things in our own strength, our shortcomings, the things that would keep us from God's presence, God replaces those things with a crown of beauty instead of ashes. He wants to bring us the joy of the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. Friends, this is what the angel comes to do. The angel proclaims that there is great joy for all people. And then the whole heavens opens up, and all of the heavenly hosts, they proclaim this. They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God is pleased with us when we are actually one with Christ. Today, God wants to set you and I free from all of the sins, all of the struggles. And I want to ask you and encourage you, you've come today and you've been feeling far from God. And if you had to think of God, you've approached God as sort of a slavish fear. You're expecting God's judgment. You know that you have not been made right with him. Today I want to encourage you to put your faith in Christ, to accept this Christ who historically did come, was born of a virgin. It's not just an airy-fairy, you know, thing that somebody made up. It's the truth. And the reality of God's presence right now, I believe, is convicting and reminding you and drawing you into his presence. He's saying, let go of the sins that have entangled you and begin to run the race that's been marked out for you. Today, I want to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus, that you'd be justified, that you'd be made holy, so that when God looks at you, he sees you as accepted, and that you would be set free from all of the fears, begin to walk in the acceptance of Christ. If you're close to God today, I want you and I to accept the reality, the truth of what God has proclaimed over us. That we would be a people of faith and not of fear. That we would be a people that is filled with God's love in such a way that it consumes all of our lives.
Yeah.
That we're not walking as the world walks, but actually that we walk according to what God has proclaimed. Because it's good news for us. And I want to encourage you, if you're sitting around the lunch table today, sitting with your family, and the temptation arises, and we feel, oh, I just want to complain a bit. I just want to worry a bit. Come on, come on. You're like, no, we can't worry. We can't worry about any of these things. God doesn't want us to worry any longer. He wants us to walk with Him.
Amen.
And friends, just as we close, we're going to have a time of just sharing in communion together. And the music team can come to the front. And I would love for us to actually enjoy and celebrate together as a community. The beauty of this communion is actually that it points us, it shows and reminds us of the price that Jesus came. Jesus came in the flesh. So that little wafer that you're having today is a reminder that for unto us a son is born. God came in the flesh to set us free. He came and walked. He can sympathize with you and I. And we can be united with Him and be united with one another as His body today. We can also receive forgiveness. We can receive the power and the strength. We can receive healing through this moment together. So I want to ask you, we've got some serving points all over. There's three on this side and three on that side. You can just make your way to the closest one. And what we're going to do is we're going to share it in it together at the same time. So if you can quickly go around and grab one. The music team's just going to lead us in a song, and I'll come together, and we'll have the bread together, and then we'll have the juice all together at the same time.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.